Again, we're going to be in 1 John. We're starting 1 John chapter 4 this week. The first three verses. This is the title of the message this week is Testing the Spirit of the Messenger. The messenger is the one who brings you a message. A messenger in a church is the one who brings you the preaching and the teaching. There's a saying attributed in its earliest date to Edgar Allan Poe. Now, if you know of an earlier date, that's fine. This is the one I got. And it says, believe nothing you hear and only one half that you see. Remember my grandfather telling me that. It's not that everything that we're told is a lie. It's not that what we see is only real half the time. The age-old problem is that we are corrupt by the very nature that we inherited from Adam. And so when we hear and see things with our fleshly eyes and our fleshly brains, our fleshly ears, we often get it wrong, process it incorrectly. We don't really recognize what we're hearing or seeing. We have trouble discerning the difference between what's false and what's true. And even looking at things, you can get it wrong. I remember out hunting. And I called up a little buck. I wasn't going to get him. He was too small. But I called up a little buck. And it was in a cleared area with bush at the other side of where they put the pipeline through. And up he came and up he came. And boy, I could have almost called him right up to myself. But he suddenly realized something didn't seem 100% right, so he went up into the edge of the cleared area to kind of stand there and look, and he disappeared. Just like that, he just plain disappeared, just like he'd been raptured. You know what? He was still there, still standing right there looking at me. And I was looking, and I didn't take my eyes off him when he went. I watched him all the way up until he went and turned around and looked at me, and that's when he disappeared. See, my eyes told me that he was gone. But they were wrong, because he was still there. It just blended in so well with everything that you had to really move around a bit to get to see any trace of this thing. That's the thing. And that happens with a lot of things. We can see lots of things, and out in the world too, people can see things going on. They can think that, you know, how many times have you seen the funny story of somebody's getting, you know, is in terrible danger. They're look like they're in great danger of getting killed, and somebody sees this from a side street or an alley or something, and rushes in to save them, and jumps on the person that's about to commit murder and pummels them down, and then all of a sudden you hear, "Cut! What are you doing? You just ruined a shot." Again, what we see isn't always what we think it is. But there's another problem too. And that is that we don't even know when we're getting it wrong. That's a big problem. Lots of times we don't know we're getting it wrong. It's a big problem going on right now in the world right now. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. We can get focused in and narrowed in on little areas of politics here and there and develop our opinions and so on and get into battles and whatnot. But that's just one. It's all over. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the world. And there's some really crazy stuff going on in the world right now. And the problem is a lot of people are believing stuff that isn't so. They're hearing things from bad sources, unreliable sources. The problem is some of these unreliable sources are considered quite reliable. They have real strong reputations. The issue is becoming more and more apparent to those of us who have Jesus Christ and the Word of God. It's become more and more apparent that it's a spiritual problem. It's a very deep spiritual problem. And people can't see. This is the conundrum that is presently destroying the world. It really is. It is right now destroying the world. And it is an agenda. It's the devil's agenda. It's setting the stage for the Antichrist to rise to power. You know, how many of you, has everybody here heard about the little boy that died in England this past week? There was a big kerfuffle over that. The boy, that the parents wanted to take him away from the hospital. They wanted to take him home, and they wanted to take him where he get treatment. The Italian government, the boy's got Italian citizenship. He was 3 years old. And they were going to, the Italians actually sent a plane up to London, I think it's Heathrow Airport. And they had all the medical equipment on board to transport this little boy from the hospital in London to a facility in Italy where they have a new kind of treatment that they were willing to try and paid for by donations and the government of Italy. They were all going to do this. The courts in the doctors didn't want this to be done. They said he couldn't survive 3 minutes without a respirator and feeding tube. They got the courts involved, and the courts ordered them to leave the boy in the hospital. They would not let him take him. They put a police cordon in front of the hospital and everything else to block it off, made sure that those parents could not remove their child and try this thing with the Italian government. And then they had another court hearing, and they ordered the oxygen and the feeding tube and everything else removed from this little boy. They said he couldn't breathe on his own for more than 3 minutes because they said his brain was mush. That's what they said. This little boy clinging to his mother, his brain was mush. And they weren't allowed to give him even water for 5 days. That little boy, when they took him off the oxygen, he breathed on his own. And he lived for 5 days until he died. And what do you think killed him? 5 days without water. But the argument's going on about that. And people I know certainly were taught better and were taught the truth and everything else, are so confused by everything that's going on in this world that they're actually siding with the people that did that. There's nothing right about that whole situation. Nothing, not one thing could be considered right about it. There's no argument that will stand any kind of test to say that there was anything right about that. As I pointed out to someone this morning, 109 years ago, something happened where if the court of the day had done what the court of today did, I wouldn't be here. My grandfather was born in a Scottish manor house, stone, cold house, everything else. Born in January in Scotland, not warm. And the doctor took this little body when it came out of his very ill mother and tossed it, as he called it, to the bottom of the bed. What good is this? This is useless. Tossed this little tiny body to the bottom of the bed. He weighed around 4 pounds when he was born. And the doctor figured he was just dead. There's nothing. It's impossible. He wouldn't survive more than a few minutes anyway. And my great aunt, I guess it would have been, picked him up and scolded the doctor and said, "Doctor, don't you understand? How could you be like that? Don't you know the McLennan motto is, while there's breath, there's hope?" And of course, my grandfather was still breathing, and he lived to be 81. And he was supposed to be on the Titanic and wasn't on that either. But this is the thing. The world is so messed up that they don't understand that we're not talking about some useless, unviable blob of tissue. We're talking about a human life. And that's what has permeated, I'm spending maybe a bit too long on this morning, but that is what has permeated everything in our world today. And that's why you see the amazing craziness of the political situation in the United States today. If you paid any attention to it at all, and I'm not telling you to because it might drive you crazy, but if you paid any attention to it at all, it is senseless what's going on down there. The attacks on their president are without precedent. It's, you know, presidents are human beings, and they make good calls and they make bad calls. But that's always been that way, and they've always accepted that this is the person who was voted in and will put up a proper resistance in the proper house and everything else if it's needed. But he is our representative on the world stage. But now there's complete insanity down there, and there's a lot of insanity, a lot of really strange things going on that make no sense, except when you look at what the Bible says. You go back to the Bible, this is the thing. I'm not here to make a political statement. Please don't ever get me wrong on that. I'm looking at world events, things going on in the world as I read the Bible, and that's how we see. They can't. Jesus said the God of this world has blinded their minds lest they might see and understand the gospel and be saved. They're blinded to the truth. They cannot see what's wrong with them. It's not that they're stupid or anything like that. They simply can't see. And this is what we're told today in this message, is how to see. This is another place in the Bible where we're told how we can see something, something that is very simple. And it's surprising how simple it is. It's surprising how few get it. So let's stand and look at and turn our Bibles to John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Beloved, this is so timely, by the way, isn't it? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Father, as we look at these three verses today, we pray that you would be with us, guide us, and help us to really truly understand your message here. There's far more that could be preached in this time, Father, but we pray that you would continue to teach us and speak to us in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the real answer to the question. How do we know who to believe if we can't believe our ears or eyes? How do we know who to believe if we can't believe our ears or eyes? And we're told here to test the spirit of the messenger. And this is something that you simply can't do with your ears or eyes. This requires faith in God through Jesus Christ. And this is why we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we walk by faith, not by sight. As Christians, we do not walk by sight. As Christians, as we study the Word of God, we begin to understand. This is why we really need to read, because it really expands our minds tremendously when we read the Word of God. It's not, we're no longer this little narrow little thing that just kind of somehow fits into a head. The mind isn't there anyway. This is our interface with the world. You say, well, that's not scientific. Science can't understand a lot of things. They can only understand what you can feel and taste and measure and so on. But this opens our minds to the fact that there's much more going on than what we can see and experience with our senses. Much, much more going on. So we're told, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk in a whole system so much bigger than we can imagine, so much more dangerous than we can imagine, but we walk there by faith. We start by faith. We put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then we live by faith after that, trusting Him to lead us and guide us and show us everything that we need to be shown and understand the things that are going on. As Christians, we have something that really isn't part of this natural world. We have the Word of God, which is not of this world, is brought to this world, and we have the Holy Spirit. It's something that the world around us simply doesn't have. The world around us doesn't have the Bible either. Oh, there's copies of the Bible all over the place. But the Bible tells us very clearly that without the Spirit, it's nonsense. That's why people will tell you that's just all made up and so on. They'll make the craziest statements, things that are so easy to refute, but don't try. Don't waste your time because they don't want to hear it. You know, I was just reading the other day how the Qumran scrolls and the Septuagint, while they're not exactly the same as our King James Bible, they're so incredibly close in so many ways, and that they corroborate our Bibles as being, you know, in agreement with something very old. Now, people tell you that the King James Bible was written in the around the time of Shakespeare. Now, that's not too hard to prove wrong, but even more, when we show them the Qumran scrolls and Septuagint, when we can actually show them the dates of those things that were about 300 BC, what are they going to do? They don't want to. Well, that's what we have, you see. We have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we're told here, point number one, is don't believe every spirit. You don't believe everything you hear or see. The fact that you see something happening with your eyes, you hear something with your ears, doesn't make it true. Be careful. Seeing, for example, Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn wandering around a stage, their names up in huge letters across the back of the stage, speaking to each other in gibberish, laughing and pointing at the crowd and yelling, "Sick 'em, Jesus," while people fall and convulse on the floor, has fooled a lot of people. It really has. I remember a lady coming up to me, a lady at a fundamental church, very similar to this one that I went to, and she came up to me after going to watch they brought the Toronto blessing to the local area, and she'd gone to one of these things, and she said, it's amazing, you've got to go see it. And this is what was going on. People were convulsing and barking like dogs and laughing like crazy and falling on the floor and doing all these things. And she said, it's the power. And see, the power, it's just, it has to be, such power has to be from God. You see, that's a big error. That's a huge error. And that, again, comes from not reading the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We Christians can be deceived and become so ineffective in the world and get into such trouble because we're not reading the Word of God. Here's what God says. A lot of people, again, believe something must be from God because they see such power, but there's not a single verse in the Bible to support the kind of nonsense that is done by Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn and all those guys. In fact, it's satanic what they're doing. I'll say it right here and there. It's flat out satanic. The Bible has an answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is not great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, there it is. A whole lot of what masquerades as Christianity, accompanied by all kinds of really appealing things like the appearance of great miracles and things like that, are utter fraud. And the greatest of these frauds are the ones that are done by the devil himself, who gives power to these things to make it appear that they are actual miracles. And you know, in the tribulation period, people are going to really get fooled because the beast is going to be killed and rise from the dead by the power of the devil. It's a fraud. Masking, mimicking God in every possible area. But mimicking God in twisted, horribly twisted and macabre ways. Faking it and just making it appear, you know, making a mockery of God. You know, imagine a pastor yelling at people in the crowd, laughing himself silly on the stage and yelling, "Sick 'em, Jesus," like Kenneth Copeland did, and watching somebody, another person, falls down. It's disgusting. People, "Oh, it's wonderful. You got to go there." Don't knock it until you've been there and seen it. You know, like the experience is going, and it has. Preachers have gone there and experienced it, and they have gone from being fundamental preachers like myself, by fundamental I mean standing on the pure word of God, to being right into this stuff. They were deceived, and they took their eyes off the mark, and they forgot that the word of God is what we use to judge what we see. Here's something. There are two huge photos. I wish I could just pop them up on here to show you. There are two huge photos. If you happen to go to Horseshoe Bay and you have some time, walk over to the far side of Horseshoe Bay. You see where the rock is all cleared off there. There are two great big huge photos there. And I actually took a photo of each of them because it's so cool. And I got the light just right so I could take the photos and it looked like I'd taken a photo of the actual scene that I was looking at. These photos show the new development that's going in there. The development's not there yet. But these photos show Horseshoe Bay with that development in place. And it is Horseshoe Bay. There's the boathouse, which is, I guess, going to be something else now, but in front of it, because they've got the whole thing, marina and all, but the marina. And the ugly kind of condos that are in the back there and everything else. And there's this new development, and it's all there, and all the trees and people on the street and, the, you know, cars. It's Horseshoe Bay. And there's another one, a flyover. Same thing. You look down, there's Horseshoe Bay. You recognize all the different points, and it's full color, and it's live, and everything else. There's nothing fakey about it at all, nothing false about it or anything. But do you know what it is? It's CGI. There's no such building in Horseshoe Bay. There's a big, huge excavation and a bunch of blasting going on. There's no such building. And yet you show somebody that picture. Well, here, yeah, look, I got photo proof. Here's your proof. A photograph of that building in Horseshoe. This is Horseshoe Bay today, except it's not. Don't believe what you see just because it looks true. And remember this, that was something that people did with a computer. CGI today is amazing. They use it in movies and everything else. But remember this, when you see something like that, stop and think about this for a second. And you think, man, that's fantastic technology. The devil is a much more sophisticated deceiver than a real estate developer. That's a fact. So what are we told? Well, that's number one, don't believe every spirit. Number two, test the spirits. I want you to be careful as we go through this section and remember what that says, test the spirits. It doesn't say test the messenger. That's not what I'm saying here. It doesn't say that in the Bible either. It doesn't say test the messenger. It says test the spirits. Okay? Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because there are many false prophets. Okay? Unfortunately, when you read commentaries and stuff, and commentaries are written by men, and there's a lot of good commentaries, but they're not right all the time. And some of the commentaries that you read on this that are pretty good commentaries will kind of tell you this is how to test a preacher or a teacher. But it's telling us very specifically in here to test the spirit. And from there, of course, you can come to an understanding about how to deal with a particular preacher or teacher. But it's really specific, and we need to be specific so we don't go off into errors. That's how new denominations get started. Test the spirits to see if they are from God, because there are many false prophets. The definition of a prophet, first of all, is someone who preaches or proclaims God's word, not somebody who necessarily says anything about the future. Although even I, in preaching, when I'm preaching certain passages of Scripture, I'm proclaiming what God says about the future, because because that's in the Bible, see? But prophecy is proclaiming the word of God. That's what it is. And so a false prophet is somebody who's saying, you know, putting themselves forward as proclaiming the word of God, but they're not. They're preaching, a false prophet is preaching false doctrine. And often the most effective false prophet is the one who mixes in some biblical truth accompanied by deceptive signs and wonders. That's what the devil did, you see, and he's the ultimate evil spirit. That was the spirit who tricked Eve, the devil. He tricked her. And the, you know, the preacher in that case, if you want to call him that, was a snake. The devil was able to make a serpent speak. But the spirit was the devil. And he confused and tricked Eve. People like Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Randy Clark, John and Carol Arnold, and others have deceived millions of people, mainly by leading them to focus on the experience rather than on our Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, which is the true word of God. So what you get from that, you know from that, that the Spirit coming through them, the Spirit in which they are preaching, is not the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of Antichrist that's mentioned here, because what we're seeing coming out is not the Word of God. So you test the spirits by seeing what the messenger's saying, and then you go, that's not from God. So that's what? Boy, that person's an evil person. No, that's the spirit of Antichrist. They're preaching in the spirit of Antichrist. Everybody that isn't saved is evil. We talked about that before. It's the nature of it. It sounds terrible, but it's the truth. It's the absence of good. People aren't saved. They are evil. That's what the Bible. They're wicked. That's the term that's used throughout the Bible. Wicked. It means the same thing. They are without God. And so their motivations are totally different. And their motivations, they are of the devil, the Bible says. The Antichrist. How to know the difference, our next point. How do we determine, and again, it's not always super simple unless you study the Word. If you study the Word of God, it's pretty straightforward. But you need to know the Word of God. It's so easy, and I can tell you this from experience, it's so easy to get deceived, especially when you hear a really smooth, charismatic speaker. You can really get caught up in it. I'll give you an example of how that works. Remember, we're all here, unfortunately for us, old enough to remember. Remember Pierre Elliott Trudeau. He needed to win Quebec in order to win the country. And they hated him in Quebec. And what did he do? Thing that the deciding point a lot of historians point to, the thing that swung it wasn't some brilliant new idea that he came up with. It's when they were throwing things at him and a policeman wrapped him in they kind of crowded around and covered him in raincoats to protect him from the bottles and things they were throwing at him, and he pushed them aside and stood up like that. It's charisma. He won the election. It turned them. They got these people that hated him. In a moment, changed their minds. Was he any different? No. But they got caught up. They forgot all the things that, wow, what an incredibly amazing, brave man, willing to put himself at such risk. You know, boy, he's the guy to vote for. Same thing happens with pastors and preachers. People hear, oh, it just sounds so wonderful. You should hear him talk. His voice just seems to go through the room, and you can just hear it. And his words are just so beautifully and eloquently spoken. It just kind of falls on you like you know, apples of gold and settings of silver. We need to determine whether the Spirit is the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Antichrist. And this answer is simple. And it requires soberness. And again, we're told to be sober. And it's more than just not drinking alcohol or anything. We need to be sober-minded. Every spirit that confesses, we're told in our Bible, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, remember spirit, remember that, spirit, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. Remember the person over in the Gadarenes, he was called Legion. He had so many evil spirits in him. And did they come out and say, did the guy come up to him and say, you're nobody. We don't have any idea who you are. Who do you think you are coming after us? They called him by his name. They said who he was. They knew who he was. The spirits, when they get into that, they speak, the Bible speaks of it, they speak of themselves. And they will not confess. The evil spirits won't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Another important point, the words confessed, or the words here when it says is come in the flesh, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Every spirit that confesses Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Is come is a translation of the Greek perfect tense, which we don't have as such, meaning it's not simply an historical fact, but it is a continuing fact. So this is something really important. Jesus is come, and it's an ongoing thing. It means Jesus Christ didn't die and get buried and disappear and come back as some kind of an apparition, as some teach. It's a continuing fact. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God, and in fact is that spirit of Antichrist. Isn't that simple? That sounds simple. Be careful. If someone says that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, he's my brother in Christ, while someone who says that he didn't come has the spirit of Antichrist, right? Careful. Well, first of all, we have to carefully read what our passage says. First and foremost, it's speaking of the spirit of the doctrine, or the spirit that the doctrine is coming from, not the human speaking the words. The spirit is the source of the doctrine. Thus, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That's the doctrine that the Spirit is giving. Well, every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. That's how that works. It's a little more complicated than what we can simply see or hear. Note that the name Jesus Christ is part of the equation. That's very important. The Bible says here, doesn't say that he is come in the flesh. It says that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, ongoing. So he's still in the flesh. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, and Christ means anointed or Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. This is what they understood. The entire confession then is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah come in the flesh, or he is not, depending on whether the Spirit is of God or not. And this is where you can start to see what you're hearing in the world, even in some churches. For example, anyone who claims that while there was a man named Jesus Christ, he was not the Messiah, the same holds true. It's the spirit of Antichrist speaking. Oh, he was a good man. No, he was Jesus Christ. He was Jehovah with us, the Messiah, the anointed one of God. Or as the eunuch said to Philip, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is. Continuing. It's not as simple as the words that someone says either. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the confession is more than mere words, but comes from a living faith in the heart of a believer. And of course, this is why you can see clearly when it's the wrong message is coming, what spirit it is that's giving it, because it's coming from the heart of the Spirit itself. It's what the Spirit is. It's either evil or it's Spirit of God. And they will speak clearly what is coming from them when it comes to that. Confession is not simply admitting something, but it's a declaration that something is true. Our actions must line up with what we confess. So again, if you see somebody preaching a whole lot of truth, but doing things like sick of Jesus and stuff like that, Benny Hinn is a master. Millions of people follow him. And they tune into his broadcasts all the time and listen to his teaching, and some of it sounds pretty good. He's a masterful teacher. But he's also a deceiver, a great deceiver. He makes all kinds of claims that are unbiblical, and therefore they're from the wrong spirit. Our actions must line up with what we confess. James 2:20, but wilt thou, O vain man, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If a confession is true, the walk must show it. Someone who professes to be a Christian, but then who denies the importance of obedience to the Word of God, denies Christ himself. There's a lot of that going on today. Somebody says they're saved, then denies the importance of obedience to Christ. They're denying him. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. John 14:21. And if you read through John chapter 14, you will discover that those who don't love him aren't saved. Those who do love him will obey him. Period. Period. Someone who denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh has the spirit of Antichrist. An example that is around us all over. And so many Christians falsely believe that they are just another denomination and another type of Christian. And that's the Jehovah's Witnesses. They claim that the resurrected Jesus Christ was not really a man of flesh and bone, but an apparition. They claim that when he was put in the tomb, God just dissolved his body into gases and then brought up this fake thing that looked like him. And just an apparition. The word translated is come in verse 2 of this passage make it clear that Jesus continues to be in the flesh a man. He's still a man. He's still fully God and still fully man. By the way, the people that we rent from here teach that Jesus Christ is Michael the Archangel. I just found that out recently. I was kind of shocked. But they also teach that he wasn't a created being, although the Bible says that angels are created. Very confusing, you see, and that particular message right there has got some huge problems. Again, it's the wrong spirit. Beware those that claim that Jesus Christ is an angelic being who has changed into anything else, or is an apparition or anything but God become flesh. The Mormons teach that he was just a man, that he was a God, but that he'll become God eventually, just like God did. He's actually Michael, he's Lucifer's brother, and it goes on and on and on. Again, the spirit of Antichrist. Anything that denies what the plain word of God says is the spirit of Antichrist. And those who say Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but then deny the importance of his word, are not true confessors, but they're deceivers. And a lot of people, again, are deceived. It's heartbreaking. The number of people that are deceived. People that go to church all the time. People that go to evangelical churches all the time. Probably some of their pastors. I can't imagine them teaching what they teach unless they've been deceived as well. But it's heartbreaking. They're in trouble. They're in big trouble. The Bible says of these people, they're having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. If they are denying the Bible, then they're denying God. The Bible, you see, what has been forgotten somehow down through the ages in a lot of churches and in the modern church, what has been forgotten is what this is. You know, the Catholics used to venerate the Bible, and I disagree with that. They carry in a special Bible. And it's carried in, it's on gold, and it's just like the Ark of the Covenant, pretty near. And it's really, really holy, and only certain people can touch it, and so on and so on. It's just, you know, that's going too far, because we were never taught to do that. That's actually coming out of paganism, which is about half of the Catholic Church, at least, is paganism. But what the Bible represents is Jesus Christ. See, this is God's Word. in written form. But Jesus Christ is described in God's word plainly, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Who's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible goes on to tell us that nothing was created without Him. He was the Creator, and everything was created through Him. And furthermore, that the Word became flesh. So when we start cutting chunks out of our Bibles and denying little bits, saying that's not relevant anymore, which, if you've been watching it all, you know tons of that is going on in the evangelical churches today. That's like cutting little pieces out of Jesus and throwing it away. Oh, he doesn't need his hand. Well, just gone. Oh, he doesn't need that leg. He can hop along fine in the other. Gone. But that's what's being done. It's a direct, denying any part of the Bible is an absolutely direct and inexcusable attack on our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to know that. We need to warn people. You can't. You can't do that. People doing that have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy 3:5. The conclusion this morning is this. Test the spirit of the messenger. I've had a lot of people, and I still have it continuously, people coming to me and saying, oh, you should have heard so-and-so on the radio. Oh, I listen to this person all the time. Why? Every Sunday morning I get up early so I can turn the TV on and I can watch these guys. You know, and I know who they're talking about. And I know you shouldn't be listening to those guys. You shouldn't be watching those guys. There's very few, actually, that you should listen to. There are some preachers that I listen to sometimes that I wouldn't have a problem with anybody. Although I'd say, you know, you got to remember with your Bible, because they're making mistakes too. I don't agree with them all, but I wouldn't call them heretics or anything. But there's a whole lot of heresy and a whole lot of apostasy, and it's a real huge mistake. We say, well, most of the time what he's preaching is good. It's only every now and then there's something. Wrong spirit. Stay away from it. If he ever once preaches stuff that is contrary to the plain word of God, I mean, there are things that are a little more difficult, right? A little harder to understand. But if he ever preaches against anything that is the plain word of God, don't listen to him. Because that's the spirit of Antichrist. And just because a spirit, or because a preacher speaks well or has an appealing message or preaches lots of truth is not enough. Find out what he believes. Unless he believes what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ the Messiah, God's Son, has come in the flesh, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, he is led by the spirit of Antichrist. That's the problem with the entire Catholic Church from top to bottom. It's rotten from top to bottom. I've met Christians in the Catholic Church. I've met some who really seem to be Christians in the Catholic Church, but I don't understand why they're still there if they're Christians. Because it's rotten and demonic from top to bottom. There's no good in the Catholic Church. I'll just say that right now. I can't find any good in the Catholic Church. They teach that if you don't take the Mass, you're going to go to hell. If you don't put the church first, you're going to go to hell, and so on and so on. And then you're not going to go directly to heaven anyway. You're going to go to something that they've created, and you're not going to get out of there quick unless a whole lot of people are paying for you and praying for you. It's just all rotten. It's disgusting. That's the simple message. God the Son came in the flesh. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. And from there we go, who is God the Son? And from there we go to Genesis chapter 1 and we read our Bible from cover to cover, because it's all about who Jesus Christ is, the whole Bible. Unless preacher believes these things, he's led by the spirit of Antichrist. Unless he believes that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, not was come in the flesh, He's not led by the Holy Spirit. Unless he believes that Christ rose bodily from the dead and even today is still fully God and fully man with a man's body, don't listen to him. He's a false prophet with the spirit of Antichrist. By this ye know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ hath come in the flesh, is from God. Only a spirit that is from God proclaims the truth of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of, or the Messiah, who has come in the flesh as our Savior. The Antichrist will never proclaim that. All kinds of other things, but never that. Twisted maybe a little bit, but never that. Only through faith in Jesus Christ, not our goodness or our works or our church or our mass or baptism or anything else. Only through faith in Jesus Christ are we saved. Amen.